welcome to Cinemarathon, the Movie Marathons podcast where we watch a series of movies all in one day and then discuss them afterwards. My name is John, and joining me on this podcast are Matthew, Pat, Manny, and Josh. This is part two of the Halloween Cinemarathon, so if you missed part one, be sure to go back and check that out. But if you're all caught up, then sit back and enjoy part two of Halloween. Now, we move on to the next movie, and of course, Michael Myers, you thought he was dead, but
he's back,
kill
baby.
Him.
Back, baby. He's all right, he's just got some couple burns.
Yeah, and that brings us to the fourth film, which is Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers. A great health care, can I say? Well, he's like Darkman at the beginning of the movie. Like, he's like crispy from head to toe with bandages and stuff. Like,
they've somehow grown his eyes back.
Yeah. Like, this is where, what I love about this movie is he's still alive and he's lived from these burns, but they still, and I guess this is the fault that they come up with later, they're still not really, like, at this point, obviously he's superhuman, right?
Oh, yeah.
And,
it's
well,
the Jason
and it's
6.
Accepted,
it's the Jason Lives
yeah,
of this
It's accepted
franchise.
He's superhuman, but they never really outright say it. Like, none of the doctors or anyone, they're just like, hey, it's Michael Myers. Mm-hmm. But nobody's like, Jesus fucking Christ, this guy's, like, invincible. Like, what happened?
You have to consider, if I may, that this one takes place 10 years after the events of the first two movies.
Because he's been in a burn ward for 10 years.
Yeah. Well, it's a burn ward that's much akin to the place that they're keeping
and apparently never had
Hannibal
a trial.
Lecter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's a whole Silence of the Lambs intro where, like, this guy's just giving you all you need to know, like, taking these two people, because he's going to be transferred out of this place. So he's taking the two, like, federal agents or whatever that are going to transfer him down into the basement. And they're like, oh, this guy's a real sicko. Let me tell you everything about him for those of you who are just tuning in. And, like, it's just, like, it smacks so much of the Silence of the Lambs. It's really funny. And then they get down there and he's just a mummy. He's just wrapped up head to toe. And they're like, this is fine. Nothing's going to go wrong. We'll be totally fine. And then, like, smash cut 5 minutes later in the ambulance. Everyone's dead.
I'm going to go, like, super right wing on this, but I'm just gonna say I don't want my taxpayer dollars keeping Michael Myers in a burn ward for 10 years. I think I'll just let that fucker die.
Jeez, that's an excellent point. Why are they keeping him alive?
Couldn't we, like, put that towards, like, a school?
Like, the nurse unfolds the first bandage and begins to wrap it around him, and then they just walk up like, just stop.
let it be.
Yeah, why? That's ridiculous.
Well, what's even more impressive than Michael Myers surviving this blast, because, I mean, at least he walked out of it in the last one.
Yeah, he made his way out.
Loomis is, like, doing just fine. Yeah. He makes Harvey Two-Face look, like, you know, much worse than him.
Yeah, he has a little blemish, I think, on his cheek, and that's about it.
And in the back of his hand is a little webby.
Mind you, he was incinerated in the same fire that Michael Myers was.
But see, he turned his face this way, and it protected
it
everything over here.
Taking all 95% of his other body. Yeah.
His leg is also wounded to some extent because he's walking with a cane. Mm-hmm. But other than that, he's because he's on his feet for the whole damn the next three movies that he's in.
The whole franchise, he's running around.
He's running.
The poor bastard.
He's got to have a sponsor or something. He does not do any doctoring in these movies. His sole purpose is to carry a gun and try and kill. Or we can get into it later when he gets his extra special plan. But
he carries
weapons against Michael Myers.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it now, but that is my favorite moment of the entire series.
We should also talk about our new lead female character, which is, in this movie's logic, it's Laurie's daughter, Jamie. Yes.
And Laurie is dead.
Yes.
Which we don't know why or how it came to be, but she
I think they say, like, car accident or something.
Oh, really?
I think so.
If they talk about it, it's a throwaway line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's sort of keeping up that tradition of, much like Laurie in the logic of two, was a sister that didn't know it and was with a foster family. Jamie as well doesn't know her relation to Michael Myers and is with a foster family and sort of
Actually,
has... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Actually, she is aware. So
oh, does yeah. she?
So,
I didn't yeah, remember.
She, yeah. The first scene with her, she's having a nightmare that Michael Myers is...
Her uncle.
Yeah, Uncle yeah. Myers. Uncle
but,
Mike.
But she and doesn't. Kids at school tease her also, like, your uncle's you're the right, boogeyman. You're right.
My apologies. Yeah. I don't know, you know, I don't know why I didn't get the canon so straight. Well, really important movies.
At least, yeah, it's set in stone, man. It's never going to change.
It is fuzzy because we never get to witness the exact moment when Laurie herself realizes exactly what position she's in, because what we see in a dream that she has memories of the woman who raised her tell her, you know, you're not my daughter, right?
Right, you're talking about in the second movie.
Yeah, in the second movie. And so in between then, there's been this whole public outcry of 10 years later, suddenly everybody knows the biological relationship of this girl whose mother's now dead.
Yeah. Yeah, it's strange. They sort of just fill in that gap just because as I think for an audience, they don't want to have to go over, you know, keep retelling everyone in the town, oh, yeah, this is the relationship
of the
girl.
They tell you everything you really need to know in the beginning with the exposition doctor guy who's
oh, escorted. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying, yeah, is that they, as an audience, they tell us, but if within the universe of, you know, Haddonfield, they don't want to have to keep having characters like, oh, Jamie is... Michael Myers' niece, you know, like they just want the world to know and just get past it.
Which I just want to say real quick, this is like, I don't know, probably one of the first big role of Danielle Harris, the girl who plays the
Jamie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jamie. And
yes.
She's actually fast becoming like my favorite Scream Queen because she's in a lot of horror
movies. She's in a lot of good
stuff.
And
I really enjoy her. And also, there's a really funny story about like, I think it's funny how we ID'd her because Matt had to go home and feed the dog. And a couple weeks ago, we watched Hatchet 2, which she's in. And we noticed when we were watching it, Matt noticed that one of her eyebrows, her right eyebrow, is just
permanently
surprised.
Yeah. It's like 2 inches higher.
It's
than
like
the
an
rest
inch higher.
Yeah.
But like it always looks like she's giving you the like, are you serious?
What? Yeah, like the raised eyebrow, like concern thing.
And I'm looking, and then Matt's gone, and I'm looking at this girl, and I'm like, one of her eyebrows is, oh my God. And so I look it up and it's her. And so when Matt comes back and like 10 minutes later, I'm like, hey Matt, check out that girl. Do you recognize her? And like, we've seen her when she's an adult now.
Yeah. I had only known her from Hatchet 2.
Which like, is like a couple years ago and it came out and he's looking at it and he's like, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. And I'm like, look at her eyebrows. And he just went, oh shit. And like knew exactly who
immediately.
It was.
Yeah.
But aside from the eyebrows, I actually quite like her. She comes back in the
actress.
Zombie movie.
Definitely.
And I just
well of all of the problems of this movie and the next movie that she's in, she's not really the issue.
She does a great job being
great.
A kid.
Like even as a child actor, like she's pretty good.
Yes.
To me, the fault of both Return of Michael Myers and in addition
Revenge.
To that Revenge of Michael Myers, like they might as well be the same movie because they just blend together in my mind.
I blend the three movies together.
Sure.
4 through 6 are just kind of one long weird
thing. I don't know.
Thing,
6 is
man.
Pretty distinct with Paul Rudd and the universe and Thorn.
No, it's very, well, the Thorn is introduced in 5, which is why that kind of blends for me.
Yeah. So, well,
unknowingly.
Yeah, sort of.
Unknowingly.
Oh man, I can't wait to get into 5.
No. But to me, of all of the movies, 4 feels like the most rehashed kind of cash grabby. We got to bring everyone back to life for these kind of half-ass reasons that don't really make sense. And poor, you know, Donald Pleasance.
I must disagree because I'm quite partial to number 4. It's 5 that really gets to be a drag for me.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
I would say 5 is worse. I think
absolutely.
The more reason I'm bringing it up now is because this is the movie that's like, all right. Michael Myers is still alive. He's back.
He's
here
back,
we go.
Yes. Yeah.
And that stuff never really worked for me. Like, I don't buy it. It doesn't feel authentic.
Sure.
Like, oh, this is it. He's back, baby. Like, it's more like, who is this asshole pretending to be Michael Myers?
This is going back to the well.
Yeah, totally. Totally. It feels incredibly unnecessary. And
oh, yes.
It's Clerks 2.
But worse, somehow.
Just not as scary, you know. But I don't know. And my notes for this movie and the next movie, they all just sort of bleed together. I don't have anything specific other than the way that 4 ends.
Yes.
Which is pretty striking.
Wait, how does... well, it's worth noting that Michael Myers gets about... at least a couple hundred shotgun rounds pumped into him
sure,
and falls into a mine shaft at the end of this movie. Another just definitive.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, death. That's definitely part of the... Yes, before the big hang, yeah, they have the SWAT team just smokes his ass to death with just a hail of bullet fire.
And I mean, it's not like they're missing because he's doing the... like just like shaking his body all over the place and squibs are going nuts. Which, by the way... He's got some sort of like futuristic like cloth looking polymer for his jumpsuit because he gets shot constantly in these movies and then like the next scene like looking good, Mike. Like no holes or anything. Like he's just fine. It's
antimantium coveralls that he's rocking.
Well, speaking of him being shot in a hail of bullets, the characters who are doing that is a posse that has armed themselves from head and
foot. That's good true. Posse stuff in
there
this
is
movie.
Stuff with them earlier that's pretty funny.
That's what exactly. That's one of the more standout things about this movie that we get to see a specific reaction from the citizens.
Yeah.
And most of those reactions are incredibly dangerous and stupid.
That bush just moved.
Yes.
Like, and then it's like some kid.
Whoops. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh huh. They're just killing innocents.
Yeah. Did we just kill a dude?
Yeah.
Moving on.
No need. To stop hunting, and they like keep going looking for him. It's silly. I think that's because that's part of the tension between Loomis and the fifth sheriff that he's talking to.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's all, they're going in a frenzy. The streets are going crazy, and Loomis is like, they need to find him. And I mentioned it earlier, but this is sort of where that stuff wears thin. It's just Loomis continually. Like now,
pleading the case.
I'm telling you,
like at this point, doesn't he kind of deserve the respect to being listened to?
Yeah, when there's a body count of at least a dozen people that is all well documented, you know.
Yep.
Like,
he goes back and he's like, "Yeah, the thing that happened 10 years ago."
Yeah, it's not folklore at this point. Everybody knows who Michael Myers is.
Yeah, but the sheriff, he's like, "That thing that happened 10 years ago, where like 12 people died from this one guy, Michael Myers. It happened 10 years ago. I'm sure you heard of it." The guy's like, "Yeah, whatever."
Well, if I remember, I think the guy's like, "Yeah, I was a dead." Deputy at the time.
Right.
I don't believe you. Every time you come, somebody dies. It's like, what? Yeah,
this is the film where, because I think this is when the posse was being like rallied together at the local bar or whatever. Isn't there like a really distinct argument that takes place between two people where like one person is arguing for the posse? And is it Loomis that's defending against the posse or something? I just remember there's like this phrase that they keep referring back to, like as part of the argument that they're like, it's like a quote or something where the guy's like, it's like his reason for the posse should like to exist. Do you know what I'm talking about? Maybe I'll have to look it up. That's fine.
Get past a good bullet.
Oh, is that?
No,
what
it, no. I'm just. Oh, okay. It's a good
improvisation, though. That's good.
I'm just quoting Texas Chainsaw.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right.
The best posse that ever was.
I just remember there being like this like argument back and forth, and like both sides having like really bullshit arguments.
Sure.
And then one dude had the final word, and then the posse was formed. It's like all of Haddonfield was pulling together. It's really funny.
I want to say one of the few smart decisions that posse made was that when Michael and Loomis and Jamie were stuck in the elementary school for a brief period of time, Jamie and her adopted sister and Loomis are just coming out of the hospital and they say, Michael's in there. We just came out of there. And the guys from the posse say, well, let's leave. When they could have just as easily said, well, we're going in after him.
Right.
Weird. Yeah.
I'm always so proud of them when they make that decision and decide to leave and get the fuck out.
Yeah. Like, we did shoot a man.
It's the most level head. Yeah, really. Let's quit while we're ahead.
So Jamie at this point is staying with her foster parents.
Yes.
Yes.
The Carruthers family.
The Carruthers and Rachel is the girl that's like basically in her, like she's in her care.
That's her older sister.
Yeah, I mean, but like...
Right. Her like stepsister?
Stepsister, yeah. Sort of. Sister, okay, yes. Gotcha. I'm just trying to follow the timeline because it gets confusing later.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, not to mention since they call her Jamie, which is obviously like an homage to Jamie Lee Curtis, it gets like extra confusing.
Yeah.
Because you're like, that scene with Jamie. Oh, I mean, Lori. It's just sort of hard to follow. But
Rachel is sort of significant because she does come back in the next film.
She's very significant.
Yeah, very much the fourth and the fifth one, the sort of cast and crew are very similar. Like there's a lot of returning actors and stuff. And which
is odd considering how it ends, where good old Jamie decides to do her best Michael Myers impression and ends the movie murdering and dressing up like Michael.
Yeah,
like,
killing her mom.
Attacking.
Yeah. Well, pretty strong ending. You know, and they do this thing. They do this in one of the Friday the 13th.
I think it's part four as well, actually.
Yeah, it's this sort of... I think it's at the end of five, actually. It's right...
It's the one with, like, Crispin Glover and...
Well, right? So... Actually, four and five both do it. Because Corey Feldman does it when he's young. He kind of turns into Michael.
Is that in four?
That's in four. Okay, yeah. And then in the fifth movie, Corey Feldman's now a grown-up guy in a mental camp.
Absolutely.
And then it turns out, like, the whole movie is a father getting revenge, and Jason's not even in the fifth movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the very end of the movie is, like, he puts on a hockey mask, and now I'm the killer. And this is a very similar ending where it's like,
tacked
now
on.
I'm the Michael Myers, and it's part of my family. Which was an interesting way to end it if they didn't just completely renege on it.
It totally makes sense. Bulletproof.
Sure. But I guess before we get to that reneging, does anyone have anything else about four before we move on?
I'm not going to lie. I was in and out of consciousness out of these. I was just falling asleep because they were kind of boring. But I did like the ending of this one.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I thought it gave it, I don't know, legitimize it a little bit, you know? I mean...
What, the dynamite blowing Michael Myers
up? The fact that she takes...
The girl.
Oh, the girl becoming a killer.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it legitimized in a way of a horror franchise.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, I mean, as we just said, to completely ignore it in the next one.
Short-lived.
Yeah.
Part four, the Return of Michael Myers, features 11 people killed by Michael, one dog killed by Michael because he, again... Kills and eats another dog. And like I said, the posse kills one person.
Oh, excellent. Josh, you have something else for four?
Yes, two things that I think this movie actually did kind of cool, or like one kind of cool thing, and then one actually well-done film moment, is the intro of this movie is just a bunch, it's like a farm setting during Halloween. It's all these shots of just like these lonely farm, isolated, like really sets the mood, you know, landscapes and stuff. I thought it was really well done. I mean, they did a good job like setting it up. It's not a good movie, but and then also I forgot to mention that Michael Myers early in the movie when he's one of his first kills is another one of his really unique ones that I actually like. It goes in line with his stabbing, but he just takes his thumb and stabs a guy's forehead.
Oh, right.
With it. And like, that was a really interesting, weird kill.
It's very weird.
But I love it. And it's great.
Excellent. Well, of course, after the supposed shocker ending of four with the murder that takes place, we pick it back up with the fifth film, which is Halloween, The Revenge of Michael Myers. Or the boredom of anyone that's watching it.
Steep drop off.
This is exactly, I think, where I fell asleep.
Yeah, rightfully so. You picked the right nap time.
Yes, Matt fell asleep too.
I did fall asleep, but I think we are forgetting this is the ultimate finalization of Loomis's big plan. Which is to simply hit Michael Myers with a 2x4.
Whoa. You are really boiling it down. He also dropped a net on him.
That's true.
And trank darts.
So we have a 5-movie rivalry where we're basically dealing with a superhuman Terminator and the kooky old doc professor, or psychiatrist, I guess,
who's been dealing with him for his whole life.
We're dealing, 15, 20 years he's been fighting this monster force?
Plus the time he was in the ward with him.
Yeah, right?
Thirty years now.
That after all of those experiences, Loomis comes up with the plan to throw a net on him and hit him with a 2x4. It is like my favorite part of their whole rivalry.
Well, it's really like just the delivery of it is so fantastic. Because at the end, like they're like, "We should go," and he's like, "No, I have a plan." And then you're like, "Oh shit, what's he got?"
Yeah, I waited like 15 or 20 minutes for like this is it, guys. Loomis has figured it out. We're gonna deal with this.
Come home, Michael.
And then it just ends up that he's just a kooky old dude with a board. It's like made me really sad, but it's also hilarious.
He's like, "There's only one way to kill the darkness. Have you seen Home Alone?" I'm just
like, let go of the rage inside.
Yeah, it, what Looney Tunes?
Yeah,
is what it
exactly.
Turns into. It's
Looney
crazy.
Tunes.
Looney.
But before we get to that dramatic finale, there's the opening, which negates the entire last movie, or at least the end of it, for certain. Where they basically like play the murder in the previous film as like a dream.
Yeah.
So she wakes up. Oh God! And then they're like,
just
"Did you
super
have?
Lame.
Yeah. Did you have another one of your nightmares?" And it's like, like, come on.
No, I still believe she's just reliving that moment, and that it actually did happen, and that she somehow didn't actually kill the woman
in jail. But wait, everyone witnessed her murder if yeah. this did happen.
Yeah,
but no one, she's not in a child ward or in a, like, she's just living her life.
She's in a hospital. She's living in that hospital.
She's living in a weird hospital.
Oh, so you're saying it happened.
She's been living in a home for troubled children.
Loomis has constant access to her because he comes right, and shakes and yells at her.
I'm with John. I'm not in the impression. I think they were trying to wipe the slate clean.
No, I don't believe so.
Interesting. So you're maybe I completely just misread it because you're reading it like she did murder her mother.
Yeah. I took that scene that she was just a troubled girl.
That she had just survived a horrific event and so she's being looked
right.
after.
Yeah. Right. I didn't take it as... this is her punishment for killing somebody, you know?
No, I think that is her punishment for the action that she did do. However, moments after when, what's her name? Her sister and her friend show up, that they later on say, "Mom misses you," which means that the woman survived that stab
yes.
and the fall in the water.
So or it didn't happen.
Or it didn't happen.
Which was
it's
kind
written.
Of my read.
I'm pretty sure it's written.
Oh.
I mean,
that's tough for me to believe.
I think they're somewhat ambiguous enough with it that
true.
I guess it could be read either way. But
sure.
for me, it's like when you open the movie with the end of the last movie and then pop out in a dream, my just sort of reaction is like, oh, that was just a dream. Like, it wasn't real.
I could be crazy, but I think there's a part where they say like that she attacked her mom.
Yeah.
Where
oh, is it really?
So I think that she's having dreams and these urges, but like she didn't kill. I don't think she killed her mom.
Yeah.
Also, just a fun fact: she can't talk.
Yeah,
right.
She's been rendered
right.
mute.
She's mute now.
Right, because this is where they go full on like Harry Potter, Voldemort, mind meld kind of thing going on. Where she might as well like see through like Michael Myers' eyes,
and she does.
She does.
Yeah.
Whenever he's about to get his kill on, she starts like spazzing out yeah. and seeing things.
And I'm assuming that's why she's not talking, right? It's because it's like she's kind of like Michael.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yes.
That's how it's
and
explained.
He doesn't
yeah,
talk,
she's,
so.
She's tapped into Michael and Mike doesn't talk, yeah. unless it's the Rob Zombie movies. And he talks.
Sure. There's no explanation to that, right?
No.
It just kind of happens.
But I think they do when she starts talking again. By the time she starts talking again, they think they kind of allude to it somehow because we did figure it out. I think that there is something that pointed us in that direction.
Well, I think I just, while we were watching, threw that out there as an explanation of like, oh, what if this is why?
Well, then I take my hat off to you. It makes much more sense.
I was
than
doing
the
job the screenwriters chose not to do by justifying what was the fuck was happening in the movie.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's too hard, or it's not like too big a leap to say this girl went through a really traumatic experience. She's having some emotional issues that she was just rendered mute from
sure.
the trauma for a while. Like she's like working through shit. Because
I do think it is a big leap though that a fisherman guy could find Michael Myers' shot up body.
That's right.
Pull him out of the water.
No, Michael crawled out.
All right, yeah. He crawls out. But this guy finds him.
Mm-hmm.
Heals his wounds
for a
looks,
year.
Looks
him.
After him. Yeah,
when he because Michael
like
was in
Florence
a
Florence Nightingale
yeah.
looking after Michael Myers for
jeez.
An entire year, so that it can be Halloween again.
Because
it's
yeah,
Halloween.
Because the, I mean,
and lo and behold, Michael
and then he just
him
wakes
out.
Up and kills him.
It's crazy too. Because like this guy isn't just feeding him and like and bathing him and stuff, but he's also like shaving him because you can see in the beginning when he gets up, like you can see in the background there's a guy with no beard on his
yeah.
face. It's been an entire
and he
year.
He puts his mask back on.
This,
yeah.
Guy,
I love
just
you,
loves
Michael.
Michael Myers.
I love you, trained
honestly,
man. Like,
that might be the most tragic character in film history. Like the homeless, like the most lonely man on the planet, who
the good
just
Samaritan,
just for companionship, will hang out with Michael Myers' comatose body for a year.
He and that parrot had ran out of things to talk about,
oh,
so
man.
He was welcoming
Jesus.
For Michael.
Michael Myers' healing powers are yeah. very. Like weirdly sporadic, because sometimes, you know, he just gets right back up, and sometimes he needs a year to mm-hmm. heal up, or 10 years
yeah.
from his burns or whatever. Like, that just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. What's the math there?
None.
Well,
please, someone answer.
The box office.
Right.
Well,
it's producers coming up with the next movie. That's what it is.
Right. Just bullshit.
I'm just guessing that the hobo doctor was not very good and that he just was doing the best he could and it just took a while.
Sure.
His injuries were so extensive that it just took a year to recover. But I don't know.
Or maybe, you know, as like an athlete who retires for a year and like, I miss it. I'm going to come back.
Maybe his body just knows when it's Halloween. So like he goes dormant, like, you know.
Like a barren winter.
Yeah, he just sleeps. And it's like, oh, Halloween time. He wakes back up.
I'm telling you, it's not until the constellation shows up and awakens him, right?
So, oh, right.
Because this is the first time we see the mysterious tattoo. Because his skin is healed enough to show us the tattoo now.
Yeah, the thorn tattoo.
Yeah, because this movie introduces, well, not really the Thorn Society, but just at least just weird.
It alludes to something going
on. Yeah, there's a weird steel-tipped boot, like, cowboy.
The Man in Black.
Yeah, that just kind of walks throughout the film.
He just rolls into town on a greyhound, gets out, and just like, and he's just, every once in a while, they'll just show him, like, walking where something just happened. He'll just be walking in, like, and kind of, you get this ear of like, he's like, yeah, I know what's going
wait,
on.
Wait, did he really come in on a greyhound?
Yes. He comes in on a bus.
Yes.
Wait a second.
And then he kicks it off.
Well, because in the next movie, he lives in the town, so it doesn't even make sense.
Well.
Whoa. You're telling me this dude has had the organizational skills and finances to run a secret Thorn initiative, but can't afford a fucking car?
Hey, man.
Not yet.
Well, he's got to travel incognito with his
with 50 other people on a bus.
He got rejected for a loan, so.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Not good. You don't get good credit in Thorn Society.
They probably got it guerrilla style. Like, they probably didn't even rent a bus. They were just like, go quick, get in that bus. We got to get the shot. And he just walked out.
Yeah, maybe.
Because time passes in the narrative between this movie and the next one. It's 6 years in the story, and it takes place in the present day, so maybe he ascends the ranks in the hospital, blah, blah, blah.
So does the thorn tattoo on Michael Myers, are we to assume that that's been there the whole time? Or is it a birthmark?
So.
Or is it a
tattoo? Yeah, it's one of those retroactively, like, yeah it's been there the whole time.
But is it a tattoo or is it a birthmark?
I believe it's a tattoo.
It looks a tattoo.
I can tell you from stuff that comes into play later in the next movie that it is, it's like a mark, like a supernatural mark that appears on certain
like people. Damien, like 666.
Yes, but we'll get into that later with what was intended and what actually happened. But actually, do we want to go to the ending? Because the ending's fucking awesome.
I mean, what, do you guys have notes on other stuff?
No, I mean, the only thing...
The ending is the Man in Black.
Yeah.
They arrest Michael Myers.
Yes.
Okay, so the ending is great.
Yeah.
They arrest Michael Myers. He's sitting in a jail cell, and like it's the dumbest way to ever deal with Michael Myers ever. But this time, Mikey doesn't pull it out on his own because the Man in Black... just walks in with a Tommy gun and destroys the entire precinct. Yeah. And like, that's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
You never get any information on this guy.
Isn't it just Loomis being like, no?
That's the next one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's Jamie who walks in because...
just sees the man.
Yeah. She was sitting in a squad car with an officer and he says, stay put, I'm going to go inside and see what happens. She walks in and we see the wreckage through her eyes and then the movie ends.
Yeah, she like starts screaming. I think she's like no.
Because the cell block door has been like blown open, right?
Yep.
Or welded open, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna throw this at her. I don't give a fuck. like I barely remember what happened or why. I remember the weird guy walking around.
I love the ending.
Had you seen this one before?
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, this is one of the few marathons I'd seen every movie that we watched. Wow. But I watched 4 and 5 when I was in high school and didn't really have much of a memory of them.
No, shocker.
Why not?
Yeah. I don't know why they didn't stick. But to me, they're like super forgettable. Like, just not really bringing much to the table. It not really adding anything. I would kind of just prefer they didn't even really exist, to be honest.
Well,
like,
I mean, if I think the optimal Halloween marathon, if you wanted to like just whittle it down, is Halloween 1 and 2, H2O, Resurrection. And you could maybe cut up Resurrection if you wanted to.
The Lover 3?
Well, I'm talking Michael Myers.
Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think that's a good way to go.
See, I find that number 5 to be a real drag for many reasons, but I still like that number 4 a lot, but 5...
4 is definitely better.
Yeah.
It's the best of the new 3.
Yeah. 5 is
phase 2.
Yes. This is phase 2 of the Halloween series, where I keep forgetting her name, but Jamie's adopted
Rachel.
Sister.
Rachel.
So
Rachel.
Once Rachel is out of the picture, there's absolutely no one else to care about in the movie. Yeah. Of the characters that we're following often.
Yeah, it's worth noting that just Rachel dies very unceremoniously in this movie.
Very quickly.
She comes back, same actress, and Michael Myers just shows up and goes, oh, scissors, and just stabs her, and then she's dead.
Scissors for you.
And then it's like some other woman
who's also friends
with her just suddenly like takes over being the lead.
She was in the first movie driving around,
right? Yeah. She was.
Okay, there's a theory that she's got the same name as the girl that... that Laurie Strode is babysitting
Rachel, so it's
kind of assumed she's about 17 but the same age, so it's some people theorize that she's the girl that was being babysat.
Oh, I never thought about that.
That would have been interesting,
but they never explicitly say it, so
I mean, oh no, but
the, you know, it takes too long to explain those sort of things.
Well, we need 17 shots of a mysterious man, you know, you don't have the time, you gotta really set him up.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. But still, it's a drag to watch her and her crappy friends.
It wouldn't have saved the movie. It wouldn't have saved shit.
There's a funny gag that they do in this movie where Michael Myers kills this really idiot guy who's like gaga about his classic car.
Yes.
And then switches masks and drives around in his car.
Yeah.
So he goes and picks up his girlfriend, and she gets in the car, and she's like sitting in the car with Michael Myers, like just going like, hey, baby. And like just kind of giving them the sweet talk, and he's just being like creepy, silent Michael Myers.
Yeah, that seems interesting because it has Jamie is still a mute at that point, I think. And then she's with the cops and they're doing this kind of like Lassie scene where she's through Michael Myers' eyes seeing the murder happen. And the cops are like, what's going on, Jamie? Where's the murder happen? Like they somehow know that it's a murder or something. And then she's like, cookies, boobies, girl.
Cookie woman.
Cookie and then the guy's like, oh, that's got to be Joe's gas stop like down the road.
Or there's like this big sign of this lady with like cookie tits.
So on the tip, on the tip of like a psychic girl possible murderer, we don't know. The cops are just rolling. Like they all accept that she's psychically linked with no evidence or explanation. It's just very strange. But of course, as Matthew mentioned at the beginning, this all culminates in Loomis and his trap house
plan.
Where he's just shooting with a trank dart. He's just shooting Michael.
He pulls a big lever and drops a metal a chain link net on him, and then starts shooting
because,
him with tranks.
Because after you shoot someone with about 8,000 rounds of live bullets
and
blow them up, the best choice is to then downgrade to tranquilizer darts.
And he trank them a couple times too?
Yeah, like three darts.
He runs out of ammo and then just starts wailing on them with a 2x4.
And then what's
and
crazy...
of course, Michael just keeps coming.
No, oh, absolutely. What's crazy to me is it seems like Loomis dies.
He collapses on top of Michael.
He has a death scene. And what's crazy is while we were watching the marathon, keeping in mind, I've seen the sixth movie before, but I had zero memory that Loomis was in the movie.
He's not memorable
at all, right? So I'm watching the movie and I'm seeing Loomis die, and I turn to everybody. I'm like, "Say goodbye to Loomis, guys.
Yeah,
it's his last scene."
Gone.
No, I thought he was dead, and then
I
Pat,
knew he was coming
like,
back. I just wanted to wait until you guys were.
Yeah,
I thought he was gone, and I've seen him too. Yeah.
Well, Pat, you shot me this look that's like, "You sure about that?" And I was like, "Wait a minute, I don't." And then I was literally racking my brain. I'm like, I don't remember Loomis in the sixth movie.
There's a reason for that,
And then when we finally started watching the movie, I was like, oh my God.
It was literally his last movie.
Yeah, which is just crazy.
Yeah, dedicated, sadly, to him.
But before we get to that movie, we should cover the deaths in five.
Death toll for the revenge of Michael Myers. Michael kills 10 humans and one dog.
Did he eat the
dog? Killing dogs.
He must have. I can't remember this one specifically.
I think we could just assume every dog in the team.
He was hungry.
In fact,
did the homeless guy that took care of him feed him dogs while he was in that job?
He rejected absolutely everything else.
During the other holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Maybe he'll eat the dog. He liked the cat. I don't know. And then our mystery man who shows up at the end, he killed, when we see eight police corpses.
Right, he like terminators all of
kills
them.
Kills eight officers in that room.
Was he carrying that gun on the Greyhound? Like,
Absolutely.
Well, it was cleverly hidden in like a viola case or something. I'm sure.
He's like El Mariachi.
That's ridiculous. Did you guys have anything else for
Absolutely
five?
Absolutely not.
All right, let's move on to the sixth movie, which was Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers.
Yeah. I'll introduce the domestic situation that's going on in this house particularly, because a lot of the events take place in the original murder house that Michael back in 1963 killed his sister in.
Right. Looks absolutely nothing like the house from the first
movie. Super different.
Yeah. So he killed his sister Judith in this house, and it's been uninhabited since then. And the Strode family owns a real estate business. They've been trying to sell this house.
This is so ridiculous.
Yeah, it's weird.
It is. And so this movie, we are introduced to the other branch of the Strode family. So this is not the same couple who raised Lori.
Yeah, Lori's adoptive father's
aunt and uncle.
Well, father's brother. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Make sure we get it right.
Yeah.
It's super really important. This will never be wiped out of continuity.
Never. Right. Yeah. No one's gonna try.
People are waiting with bated breath to know. No, I'm kidding.
And so we meet lovely put upon mother and wife Deborah and her terrible, horrible husband John.
Yeah, that guy was an asshole.
He's portrayed to look like such a asshole right wing, just complete like ass. Just, he's the worst person.
If
in
I had
movies.
To choose, I would hang out with Michael Myers.
Because I remember he just out of nowhere like backhands his wife, just like a piece of shit.
No, the daughter.
Yeah, oh, was it the daughter?
The daughter moves back in after she's in college, and she moves back in, and she has a kid, and he's just like,
schwack,
you fucking people are ruining my life.
Yeah. So that's Kara, and her son's name is Danny. Mm-hmm. And Kara has a younger brother named Tim. And Danny is the one who defends his mother and pulls a knife on his
asshole.
Grandfather in their kitchen that morning.
That's so pretty cool.
This family is on the edge already.
And all the while, across the street, there's another character watching in on them.
Right. Who could it be?
Which is what's his full name?
Tommy Doyle, I believe.
Tommy Doyle from the first movie has grown up to be Paul Rudd.
Yes.
He's supposed to be like a likable character, but the first thing we see him doing is he's watching the mom like in her underwear dress like through a telescope across
so
the street.
Not likable.
It's like the video kid from American Pie mixed with a Columbine kid.
Right.
All the way creepo, like really strange.
Yeah. He's bizarre.
Yeah. Was this Paul Rudd's first role?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, first feature breakout.
Well, I know. Was this before or after Clueless?
Before.
We kind of glossed
over
something.
Year. Yeah,
what's the
beginning of this movie?
The very beginning of the movie
is actually Jamie is now on it.
That's true.
Grown up and running with a child and escaping what we will soon know is the Thorn Society.
Right, because this now the weird guy they set up in the previous movie. This all comes to fruition in the genius
well,
that is Curse of Michael Myers.
Quite yet,
nope.
But yeah,
there's
a big reveal.
No, what I mean is they sort of begin to answer who was that guy and what society did he work for, and so it's like at the beginning of the movie, you're right. The girl Jamie is now grown up, correct?
She's like 16.
Well, she's old enough.
She's old enough. She has a has a new. She has a newborn child that she's giving birth to in some Satan lair, and then she like escapes with the child, and then there's like cloaked society members that are barking orders at Michael Myers.
Yeah, they stick Michael Myers.
Yeah, like he's a henchman or something. Mm-hmm. And then now that's the movie. He's like, he's chasing this baby and also Jamie, who bites it pretty early, if I recall.
She stashes the baby in like a train station.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Michael Myers catches up to her and like impales her on like a thresher or something.
Yeah, corn.
Some farm
like,
equipment.
Yeah, farm equipment.
And she's like, and she has like this like moment of like, I love you, Michael, or something like that. She has like an affectionate moment with him, doesn't
sure.
she?
Sure, yeah.
Because everybody does whenever like you're in a character.
He's family.
Through. Yeah. Yeah, you gotta love the family.
For better or worse.
Yeah, so Paul Rudd's just being a creep, and he gets this baby, right? Or,
yeah, he finds it in the train.
And he's, like, sort of taking care of it.
Mm-hmm.
He somehow, like, does some detective work and finds out that, like, the last place that she was with this baby was the train station, so I'm just going to walk around aimlessly and find it, like, stashed away inside of a cupboard.
Well, he's also, like, obsessed with the history of Michael Myers, and through his internet research is sort of on to the Thorn Society.
No internet.
And what's going on.
Well, just newspaper clippings.
Newspaper clippings.
Excuse me. His
microfiche.
His encyclopedias.
His CD-ROMs of Encarta discs.
95. Like, Encarta 95.
Yeah.
We'll have it as a full dossier on all of the Michael Myers murders.
Because, he's pulling up star charts and constellations. I guess he's just been obsessed ever since he was a kid.
Oh, yeah. There's, like, a constellation that just randomly appears. Like, there's a whole bunch of stars that just, like, on a certain time just... just show up and it's like, oh, the Thorn Constellation's out tonight. That's nice. Those giant balls of gas millions of miles away just come and go as they please.
Of course.
And so they never really outright explain it, but I guess the Thorn Society has been guiding Michael Myers' killer hand for... Yeah. Some reason. It's pretty vague.
He's the current avatar of like this this malevolent force that like kills people that this cult has always had control over. Yeah. Is what they is the picture they're painting.
Yeah, they say that it started that every family in a tribe would have to make a sacrifice to their
on Halloween
to their old druid god. Right. Or I don't know about druid, but their old antiquated gods.
Is there a Stonehenge involved? That's what I
could be. Unfortunately, not.
Silver Shamrock.
Is there a fuck motel? If that's involved, I'm in. Yeah.
I gotta say, when we were watching Six, I was pining for Halloween 3 because at least that was so goofy and funny. This one was pretty rough.
This one I would say overall is rough. Just because I would consider this the most awkward of the series.
Sure.
Because you're just like, there's so many elements that are they're trying to tie together, like a whole franchise.
To do it slick, and it's not even fails miserably.
Exactly. It's like you just got dolled up for the dance, and then you walk in, and everybody looks at you because your makeup's all fucked up. There's no explaining all of the nonsense of the first five movies, and in the attempt to do so, it just becomes strange. And like because this movie does have moments that I think really shine. Like it has one of the best kills in the franchise when Michael Myers hooks some electricity up to a dude and his head explodes.
And it's also it's the guy you'd rather hang out with, Michael Myers. It's the adopted dad. So he's like a giant asshole. By the way, the first to go in the family is like the poor wife where Michael comes back to his house and is like, what are you doing here? Shank, shank, shank. And then she's dead. And actually, doesn't he put her head in the washing machine?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so he hears like the power goes out, but for some reason the washing machine's still going downstairs.
I always keep my washer and dryer on a generator. Yeah.
So there's like this burr, and he goes downstairs and checks it out and it pulls her head out.
Because Michael Myers is always prepared for like his funhouse traps. You know?
Yes, that's true. Like, that's this is what I would like to see. Word. I want to see him he's the Martha Stewart of like grisly horror displays.
But what's even stranger about that scene is that the character specifically speaks out loud and says, there's no power in the house, but the washer is still going. Like, why point out your horrible logic?
You ever turn off a washing machine when it's in the spin cycle and see how long it takes to wind
to stop
down?
Spending?
We'll throw a human head in the mix and you really got some centrifugal motion going on there.
Should have zoomed in on the side of the washing machine and seen the thorn symbol just, just on the machine.
Well, they do actually show the thorn symbol. They do show the thorn symbol like burned into the side of a wall or something.
Meaning that Michael put it there, or was it somebody else?
Well, who cares?
It appears.
Sometimes it happens. Yeah.
But basically, what we've determined is that the washer and dryer is being powered by hearts of orphan children.
Yes,
most
heart of an orphan child.
And the Maytag repairman is a fucking asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we cut the crap and just get to the funniest moment in probably the entire series?
So he's you gotta finish at least with this scene. The dad's downstairs.
It's called foreplay, man. You gotta build up to it, you know.
He pulls his wife's head out.
Stick it in, John. Just stick it in.
He pulls his wife's head out of the washer and is horrified. And then suddenly, because this is the most opportune moment, Michael Myers is there and like shoves his head into an electrical outlet of some sort, I think. Because somehow his head explodes.
Yeah.
Like, and that's all it really
happens. I think he just juices him up on the wall. Like,
I think there's, a power line or, like, a cord.
Does he stab and, like, the knife connects to an outlet?
There's no knife, I don't think. I think it's just he just pokes him with a wire that's, like, powered, and he just fucking jolts him.
Yeah. Long story short, it's awesome. Yeah. Best kill of the movie.
Sure. Yeah. Head explodes, right?
Yeah. Manny, I gotta ask, was the best scene you're talking about the towel scene?
Oh, yes.
That was my personal favorite part.
I was literally in tears.
Which I unfortunately missed. Oh, I was really sad to have missed. But.
Basically, there's a guy taking...
We can paint you a picture. Yeah. I mean, it's not like there's any special effects going on. You know what Michael Myers...
Yeah, there's a guy taking a shower... And then he's like, hey, baby, hand me a towel. And then reaches his hand out.
And this is after Michael Myers has killed his girlfriend.
Michael Myers has killed the girlfriend. So you know Michael Myers is there, and he's the only one there. And then Michael Myers' Thorn, like, stamped arm, like, reaches and gives this guy a towel. And he's like, thanks, babe. You know? And then literally 2 seconds later, he just stabs him. So there's, like, no reason.
He steps out of the shower and then gets stabbed.
Yeah.
That's
it's like,
awesome.
Why is Michael Myers faking being his girlfriend?
Classic. Classic Michael Myers.
I was in tears when he handed the towel.
That killed me. Yeah, because I just kept going, why? Like, why would he hand him a towel? Like,
that's amazing.
Just super
silly. It was pretty great.
Yeah. But I'd say the juxtaposition of that is I'm really depressed watching Six, mainly because of Donald Pleasance.
Yeah.
And he's so old, and it's like so sad.
They're running him through the ringer on this.
And he's like not even in the movie that much. He just kind of shows up every now and then.
Well, they reintroduce a character from the first movie that's an associate of his. I only just recently found this out, but there is a character that he is seen walking with from like the hospital that he worked in.
Yes,
in the first movie. That guy is now like the gray-haired main associate of his in this movie.
Who also
gets revealed to be the Man in Black.
Ends up being the Thorn Society guy.
Yeah.
So he's in Halloween
hospital
1.
The whole time.
Yeah, they try and tie it back.
Maybe he's the one that gives Michael Myers a tattoo or whatnot.
Yeah, while
Jesus
in the hospital.
Jesus Christ, this movie is airtight.
We're through the looking glass here, people.
So were his Thorn Society buddies like, hey man, it's been 10 years. Like, can we do this thing yet? And he's like, it ain't quite time yet. Like, not just yet. And then
we
finally,
need the baby.
Like, why the big periods of time between murders? So that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so he walks into the Thorn Society meeting, and he's like, guys, I got great news. What is it? I got my Greyhound ticket. I'm going to go start making, we're going to start doing things.
But to Haddonfield, the town you live in? Oh, no, I guess not. I guess because he's a doctor.
It's kind of out of, it was the hospital that Michael Myers was being held in was, like, not in, it was not,
right.
it was
I guess he would need to take the bus, yeah.
Best way to travel, man.
My apologies.
Incognito.
Wow. So the movie like sort of ends, and actually it's interesting because after we watched the movie, Josh, you mentioned to me that there's like alternate versions of this movie. Well, what I'm saying is it makes a lot of sense because there's a moment in the movie where it seems like it's coming to a head, and then all of a sudden everybody sort of knocks it. Like, it just hard cuts.
Yes, yes.
It's like Paul Rudd and Loomis outside, and then they just go,
they say,
I think we were drugged.
We were drugged.
We were. Oh, yeah.
And
that's
you're like,
right.
What?
Oh,
you're
that's just right.
Like, that was so
you're
bizarre.
Like, what the hell?
Now I understand.
But
I didn't
to me,
put that together.
I, we didn't realize it when we were watching it, but that only makes sense to me if it's like a reshot ending, because they're just coming up with some bullshit reason why all of a sudden things are different.
And like the way that they deliver that is really funny too, because like Loomis, like they're standing there, and they cut
in the street,
and then they just wake up outside like laying down or something.
Yeah.
And
No. Not even laying down. They're literally standing in the street, and then he goes, I think we were drugged.
Yeah, Loomis is like, I think we were drugged, and then
Paul Rudd
goes, we were drugged. Like, that's his delivery.
Like, you can't shoot them like lying on the couch, like, whoa, getting
right
hazy.
Any better.
So
it's
weird.
Nothing.
Yeah. They're tight.
It's just insane. So the movie, at least the theatrical movie, kind of goes to the hospital and ends with
which
this
is
whole
what we
showdown.
Saw, right?
Yeah.
And there's like this weird research facility where they're kind of like growing thorn babies or something.
Yeah,
unclear. It's very strange. They have like this green ooze that like is really good for stabbing into Michael Myers. Because he gets
like it's
four
like
or five.
It's like mutagen
making
from
Ninja Turtles.
Yes, yeah.
A super Michael.
But to answer your question before, I believe the reason like there's all this stalling and all this like waiting for time was exactly because of the constellation. It's like there has to be a sacrifice when the constellation appears.
Well, yeah.
So like apparently in the very first movie, the first moments when Michael kills his sister, you have to kill a sibling or something like that. Like when the constellation is in the sky.
So ridiculous.
Yeah. But it all lines up.
Manny,
but it all lines up.
Airtight.
Yeah. But so the original or at least theatrical version ends in this kind of like hospital showdown. Paul Rudd takes 6 or 7 syringes and stabs Michael and then sort of shoots him into him.
Which has, like, without exaggeration, no effect at all.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, sort of stumbles and falls over for a bit. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, my memory's super hazy because at this point I was pretty checked out. But, like, basically, it seems to kind of end, and then they run out, and then
you got to talk about how Michael Myers is dealt with.
Yeah, lead pipe time.
Oh, yes. Because
Paul Rudd just wails on him with a lead pipe for literally about 3 minutes.
Yeah, he just beats the shit out of him.
So Loomis's plan was pretty actually on target. He just had the wrong materials.
Yes. Yes. Right. Yeah.
Although, steel pipes.
Yeah, steel, not wood, you guys.
Although, technically, this ending's really no different because they run away. And it's over in quotes, well, and then Mike.
They meet Loomis and outside, and they say, "Come with us. He's dead. We took care of him." He said, "No, I need to finish business." And he goes inside, and the same room, the mask is there, but Michael's gone.
And then it just fades out to him. You can just hear Loomis going, "No, no, no, no."
Well, it's not even that good. It's
dedicated
in memory.
It feels like some wild scream they took from like another movie. It's like you see the mask and then you're just like,
yes.
My God! You know, and like that's it. And it's just like, what? And you don't even see Loomis or anything. I don't know if he died on his way to shoot that scene or what. And I don't know what happened. But yeah, it's just very strange. And you're totally right. In dedication, it's like in Donald Pleasance's memory.
So sad.
Yeah. He must have died. I mean.
It was literally his last film.
He died like a week or two after filming.
Yeah, I was going to say, weeks.
Yeah. He died at the premiere when he saw the movie. It was rough. But Josh, as I mentioned earlier, there apparently, I didn't realize this when we watched it, but that ending is like a reshot ending and there's some original other
Well, there's a lot of extra movie? Stuff in the movie. One of the things that's different that they took out
Did you see this extra stuff? Have you seen it?
I've seen some of it, yes.
Is it on this DVD?
No,
it's all on YouTube.
It's
actually
on YouTube, yeah. You can look up videos.
So it's like a producer's cut?
It's called the producer's cut, yes. The first thing that they changed chronologically is that the baby in question that they're trying to like protect and like run around with the entire movie, it is indicated that Michael Myers is the father. And that the Thorn Society like made him rape his niece.
Okay.
That's sick.
Yeah, and so like it's Michael Myers' kid, but then now for the rest of the movie, for whatever reason, he's trying to kill it, even though they like really needed this baby to be
for the sacrifice. They need it for the sacrifice,
probably whatever. But the weird thing is like once they get to the hospital, Michael Myers is running around, and they finally like kind of deal with him and knock him out, and they pull the mask off of him, and it's not Michael Myers. It's actually the Thorn Society man in black guy.
Oh, like fake Michael Myers?
Yeah, and Michael Myers isn't really in the end of the movie.
Whoa.
He's like
Busta Rhymes?
Yeah. No. And
oh my God.
Like, a whole bunch of weird, dumb stuff happens, but it all kind of boils down to this moment where the man in black is killed. He is like dealt with and defeated. And then for whatever reason, he like puts the genie curse on Loomis. And then Loomis, at the end of the movie, he looks down at his wrist and the thorn thing has appeared. And now he is Michael's caretaker instead of the man in black.
Oh my
and
God.
And so the no, no, no that you hear is him looking at that and realizing that now he is Michael's protector. And like
why would
just don't protect
him. Yeah, like he's beholden.
Thorn Society, bro.
Why don't he just be like, fuck you, and not do anything?
Wait, but why does he need to be protected? He's unstoppable.
Not like a protector, but like kind of... His water boy handler,
He's
it's
like
a handler, exactly.
To use like a Buffy thing, like his watcher. Zalford. What was that?
He's Alfred.
Yeah, basically, he's just the support.
You rang, Michael.
But so that's the
why
the
do we fall down, Michael?
You are the most evil, soulless killer the world has ever known. Would you like more tea?
So silly.
Wow.
So okay, so they trick Loomis into becoming his bomber or whatever.
Yes.
Is there any other differences?
Yeah, there's a couple things I think. Like, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that they change, but that's the gist of it.
Okay.
It's just weird. Yeah.
I got to see this.
It's very strange.
That is ridiculous. Did you guys have anything else for six? Obviously the death count, but I just
okay. Yeah. Then, but before the death count, at least they tried and failed to introduce some drastic changes in, and shake the dust off of this franchise.
Yeah, and put fresh vomit all over it. It's just, what the fuck were they thinking? Like, it's so bad. I gotta say, like, as much as I hate the Rob Zombie movies and stuff, like, this one's... is just
do not even compare it to Rob Zombie movies.
No.
You think that they're Rob way worse. Way worse.
It's not even close. It's not even the running.
I'm just saying for offensively
these
like,
are just boring
this
to
this
me.
This whole society plot and the sort of like mystical nature of it, I think it's just beyond offensive.
It's dumb, but we can at least laugh at it. It's like goofball, but
sure.
Dude, the zombie stuff is just a drudge. It's just 4 hours of just, it's so miserable, man.
You look so excited, man.
No, dude, I'm just thinking about it makes me sad.
Sure. But we should talk about the death count. What are we at, Pat?
This brings us up to 13 individual people that Michael has killed in this movie. Most of which are Thorn Society people in the hospital room near the end of the movie.
Gotcha. Did you count anyone who watched the film?
Not yet.
Because I'm pretty sure.
Actually, any takers, fellas? We're all in the room together.
Put a fork in me. I'm done.
Did you put Loomis in there? Because that should be counted.
Oh, that.
Too soon, Jeff.
Too soon.
I'm a monster.
Meta death.
Oh, man.
Okay, well, that is going to do it for part two of the Halloween Cinemarathon. There's still one more part to go, so stay tuned for that. It should be posting soon. In the meantime, if you have any suggestions or comments, in particular, perhaps any suggestions for a Christmas-themed marathon that we could do, please email us at cinemarathon@gmail.com. Also, you can find us on Facebook or on Twitter. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/cinemarathon, and our Twitter feed is @cinemarathonpod. That's Cinemarathon P-O-D. And all of this information can be found on our website, which is cinemarathonpodcast.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.